What, I think this is a good one. What passage of scripture did or do you find most encouraging on those hard days of parenting? Yeah, let's pass it around. Hello? Pass it around. Nice. So we're looking for scripture that's encouraging when it gets hard.
First of all, we had scripture in our cabinets. Wendy babysat for us, so they would fall on you if you opened the cabinet, taped all over the cabinets. And one of my favorites, Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Those were my two of my.
For me, it was a couple of things. First of all, love, as we know, Scripture says that that's the umbrella over everything. So go to 1 Corinthians 13, memorize those specific qualities, patience, not arrogant, not rude. That all fits into my whole thing about words, because once they're spoken, as I said, they're hanging out there forever and ever. Also, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, the Lord made you. He wired you the way you are. He knows your life story. And he will be there for you if you go to him. We can't do this on our own. So go to him who strengthens us. He will give you wisdom. Get yourself into scripture, because that's where he's written his wisdom. And beg the Holy Spirit to be teaching you, because he's there. The Holy Spirit is there for you always.
We could almost go home right now. There's been some really good sharing. I have two. The first is Isaiah 54:13, and it says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And that comforts me in that there's nothing I can do to screw them up more than what he can teach and lead and redeem. And that's very comforting. And then I just like Proverbs 31:25. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And the first part of that really reminds me and speaks to me that my walk with the Lord needs to be primary, and he is my strength and my comfort. And as Harriet said, he is how we do this, how we should be doing everything. And then she can laugh at the days to come. Like, I want to do it with joy. And honestly, like, kids are funny. Like, the stuff that really, like, wrecks you now is really funny later on. And it is. Just trust me there.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know if I had this. I don't think I had this one when my kids were little, but this verse is one I go back to over and over. It's it just went out of my head. I can get it. Just give me a second. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. He's got everything we need. When you think you're going to lose it, step away and go remind him that he'll give you everything you need, because he will.
Y'all taking notes? Yeah, that's good. Okay. What is one? So these questions came from y'all. Just reminding you, if there's something here that you wish you could ask, you should ask when you have a chance. What's one parenting book you would recommend? If you're on that train, you can share a podcast too, but books are fine, or speakers. Yeah. Something you would share.
Yeah.
I don't even do. I have all these friends who are like, "Oh, this podcast." I'm like, "I don't have time for a podcast, but I love the idea."
No. I have a couple. Can I do two?
I'm fine.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. I had a very strong-willed my second one. My girls are 9 years apart, not on purpose, but God designed it. And again, God knows what He's doing. And I read The Strong-Willed Child, which I know is an old book. I'm telling you, there's some good stuff in there. The thing that I remember the most was that you need to pick your battles, and that may be some advice for later, but that you need to break their will, but not break their spirit. And I thought that was huge because I had a very spirited child. And to be honest with you now, I'm so glad she had that. Like Becky, God has called her to something. That she needs to be strong for. And so, which is really cool. But the other one is a book that's not necessarily a parenting book, but I tell you what, I read it as an adult leading a group of young moms. It was the best book I ever read, ever. And it's called Christ in the Chaos, How the Gospel Changes Motherhood. It is phenomenal. It is about grace, and we all need grace. It's awesome.
We also had a strong-willed child in real life and the book, both. But and when she was a teenager, she highlighted all the parts in the book that she felt we had not addressed properly. So I have gifted that back to her now that she has several strong-willed of her own. So I used my phone-a-friend option for this question because I felt like some of mine were kind of outdated. But Risen Motherhood is a really good podcast, and they have a lot of great resources. I really like Tim Challey's, and he has 10 Lessons on Parenting Little Ones, which I think is really, really good. Also, How to Grow a Connected Family by James and Lynn Jackson, and they, I think, also have podcasts, blogs, vlogs, whatever, I don't know, stuff. They got a lot of stuff. And then did I say Jen Wilkin? There's a parenting class that I think she did at her church with her husband, and you can Google it.
This is not what you asked, but about the hack thing with her kids, she does all their birthday parties with swimming parties in the summertime, 1 at 8, 1 at 10, 1 at 12, 1 at 2. I just thought that was the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. I just couldn't let that. Okay, for me, I mentioned a book about temperament and how your children are wired, and the name of it is Different Children, Different Needs by Charles Boyd, and it really gives you insight. I'm into this DISC thing, which is really, I used it in my business, but it's really for employment, but it applies to people as well. It changed my marriage. I didn't understand somebody like I married. I mean, he wasn't like that before I married, and then after he married, he was like a different person, and I didn't know what to do with him, and it took me probably 20 years to figure this out. And part of it was understanding his temperament. He's a hard-charging, directive, control, my way or the highway. I'm a people person. I'm not a people person. I'm a peacemaker person. I want everybody to be happy, and yet I'm very independent, and I don't want you telling me what to do, you know, which is, can be a problem. Another book, and it's not even in print anymore, but I went to grad school before I had kids, in educational psych, and it's Parents Are Teachers Too. And what it was doing, and this is in other places too, is logical and natural consequences. If your child's behavior is X, make the discipline apply to X. Don't just have something random out there that they can go, well, what does that have to do with whatever I did? And you're teaching them about the real world, about when you do something, there is either a logical or a natural consequence. And when you figure that out, that will change your behavior. Another thing in there that I love, 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 that I really used with my kids is you already have some things in your home that are going to motivate your kids. It may be dessert. It may be a treat. It may be one-on-one time with you. It may be a story before bedtime, that kind of thing. Use those to motivate your kid. When you want that child to do something, say, when you have finished, whatever, picking up the toys from playtime, then let's go have a treat. Or when you finish your bath by 8 o'clock, then we'll have time for a story. And hold to it. You've got to be consistent because, again, in psych, when you see what rats do based on reinforcement and that kind of thing, if they know exactly when they're going to get their food, they go exactly to the point at that time. So your kids need consistency so they know what's going to happen. That's going to help you. That's hard for a lot of us. A lot of us are not that organized. We just go by the seat of our pants. Well, then you're just going to get what that gets. So those are the two. I've got some others. The one that that what's your name?
Marsha.
That Marsha mentioned is James Dobson, and y'all right, they are ages old. I grew up on Dobson on the radio. He is a wise, believing man. Just go back to the old ways on some of this.
The only book that I could really think of was something called The Heart of Anger. We had like four super easy, unbelievable kids and one who darn near killed me. And I'm really grateful for the one that darn near killed me.
That's why I had two kids only.
There's your advice. Do you know how good I'd look if I'd stopped at two? But in the process, a lot of the books I read had more to do with me. So I loved The Spiritual Power of a Mother by Michael Ferris, which I want to premise is primarily directed at homeschooling moms, but I don't like that divide. Anybody can read it, and it's really, really good, and it's kind of more of a pep talk, and it was very good. And just in general, Michael Ferris and I don't agree on very much, and I still love the book. So it's called The Spiritual Power of a Mother. And the other one that I really loved was, or it's a series, The Power of a Praying Mom. Yes. And I keep that one by my bed because I feel like sometimes you get overwhelmed with the tyranny of the urgent and I'm like, oh God, please, would you make him stop? And that's not, so it kept me kind of focused on, for the day, you know, I'd just be focusing on that prayer. And changing me was a huge factor in dealing with the child who did nearly kill me.
I can't really add to those books. Those are great. Plus, I never read any books when I was bringing my kids up because I didn't have time. But they were, and luckily, from thank the Lord, they were good kids. But this is what I would say is I think you have to have a strong marriage in order to raise your kids well. So what my suggestion would be that you take advantage of resources that we have here. If you can get your husband to come to Homefront, do the marriage weekends that we offer, because the stronger your marriage you two are as a couple, your kids will benefit hugely. And so that's what I would recommend, is that you really, really focus. And like Christine said, it's so funny, when you're trying to get along with your husband most of the time, you know, you're the problem. At least in my house, I was the problem. And so if the Lord showed me that, is like, just chill, you know. And it's amazing how much he blessed our marriage for that. So I would say, you know, work really, really hard on your marriage, but let the Lord lead you in how you do that.
Thank you. Can I just say, absolutely.
Just as an encouragement to that. I did not have a strong marriage. We've been married 56 years. The first 20 were like a 3. But if, I guess I'm saying that because I hear so many young, there's so many divorces now. I mean, it's like everybody I know is divorced. Don't divorce. If you weren't meant to be together, you are now. Once you have married, you are meant to be with that guy. And you just don't leave the marriage. You wait, learn from the Lord, do exactly what Julie said. You do only what you can do. You can't change them. Only the Lord can change them. But you can change how you react. You can change how you motivate. You can change how you pick at them, you criticize them, that kind of thing. So just to encourage any of y'all that are not in a good marriage, I think exactly what she said is 100% true. But I wasn't there. But we hung in there, and I was teasing somebody at Bible study yesterday and said, the way we stayed married was the one who left had to take the kids with them. So neither one of us wanted to do that, so we stayed in the marriage. But we have a marriage that's about a 9.5 now. So just don't leave. Just stay and work.
All right, I think this next question applies to kids, which I'm glad y'all survived because my fourth one might break me. And then marriage as well. So what's your strategy and or scripture for remaining calm when you don't feel calm? I know we've all been angry, overwhelmed, agitated, embarrassed. And I think that kind of applies. Like, how do you stay calm? What scripture do you use? so that you're not taking it out on your kids or you're not taking it out on your husband and like trying to deal with that anger in a God-pleasing way?
I would just say leave the room. And sometimes you just have to zip it and walk away. And I don't mean like stomp out and slam the door, you know, but just exit the room and calm down. And then, you know, address it, because I'm sure there's scripture about that. But but yeah, sometimes you just have to be quiet and pray and then go back and try to, you know, explain why you felt like you did.
Slow to speak, slow to anger. There's one of those, right? Yeah.
I love that. Yes.
I couldn't tell you what book
it's I would from, second I that, except I would allow myself to have a temper tantrum, but I would warn everybody it was coming. No, I really did. And I would go in the den and I'd be like, just hang on, everybody. I'm going to have a temper tantrum. And when it's over, I will put myself in a timeout, which was glorious. I loved timeout. But I did.
I love that.
You got to get it. I was redhead. I've faded. But.
I agree. Don't talk. Keep quiet. But one thing I think is helpful is to explain your emotion to the kids. I'm really frustrated right now. If I say something right now, it may not be kind, so I'm just going to take a break. I'm going to take a time out, so to speak. And when I've calmed down, then we'll come back and we can talk about it.
I also agree with what Harriet said earlier about just having like clear-cut consequences. So you don't have to get all emotional about it. Just follow through with what they've been told and what you've said you will do. I think, too, sometimes I would just stop right then and pray out loud and say, Lord, I'm having a hard time with my emotions. So-and-so is having a hard time with theirs. Would you help us to extend grace to each other and have a do-over and let's do this? And so they, and again, like has been said, you can repent in front of your kids. And I think Dr. Dobson said a long time ago that if they see you apologizing or if you say you're sorry, they forget about it. So I apologized all the time and just wiped that memory that of all the things that I did wrong. And I would, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say we spanked. We spanked. And I would say, get the spanking stick and go into the bathroom. And apparently on many occasions, I forgot them in there. But it also did give me time to just regroup, and then I'd go in later to go to the bathroom. I'm like, what are you doing in my bathroom? You know? So then you see you can laugh later on.
I'll tell you what not to do. Pull their hair. Because I did that. Now, by that time, she was about to go to college, and I could not wait. And it wasn't Lauren. It was the other one. And I remember she wheeled around and looked at me and said, you pulled my hair. And I said, I know. You made me mad. I would say probably not the baby, you know, especially if they're like two, because my two-year-old would have bit me. So, you know what? I think these are all great. Just humble yourself, because sometimes you have a reason to be mad, but you still need to conduct yourself in a godly way. But I think the thing I wish I'd known, because now I can show so much grace to my perfect grandchildren, is that they don't know how to be functioning human beings. And so they need me to help them. And that's my role. If I'm called to be a mother, I'm called to help them learn to be people who other people can stand. And that's important.
I heard this advice before from y'all about like praying out loud. I'm going to tell a story because it makes me laugh every time. My kids were having a hard time, and I just stopped and closed my eyes, and they're like, what's she doing? I was like, I'm praying, and they're like, oh, no, she's praying. It was fun. You can laugh, even now. All right, so a little more serious now, Jake. The struggle is real in competing priorities. And I know often myself and someone who asked a question struggles with wanting to do what you want to do when you want to do it, rather than maybe prioritizing what your kids need from you. So how do you suggest in battling that own like internal battle, that own self-talk of, you know, me versus them kind of thing?
Somebody
wants to. Okay. No,
I need a minute.
Take your time. It was on the sheet. It's number three if you need it.
Okay, I read that question a different way. I thought you put something in there about somebody was really struggling with their own sinful thoughts.
Yes, we can, that can fall.
For some reason,
pride is sinful too.
I took it away from the kids, and I took it away into something else. Maybe that says something about me. Oh. But I think you always have to have a place. So everything's a choice. You can either stand and harbor on that whatever negative emotion or words or feeling you have, or you can substitute it. And scripture says that you can, you know, you can just can change your mind. So have something ready, like when you go to that place with your kids or with something else, have something you can go to and think about. And don't let your mind go back to the other thing. And I'm not sure this is making any sense because, again, I was thinking about it in a different way.
Okay.
But whatever, take whatever you
get. Someone will get something.
I sort of agree, except I think that there's a tendency for us to white knuckle. And you can white knuckle for a day. You might be able to white knuckle for a week, but you ain't going to white knuckle for 18 or 20 years. And God promises that he will change our hearts. So if your heart isn't aligned to the job that he is clearly given you, I remember my husband once... The kid that nearly killed me. I remember saying to him something about, this is not what God wants for me. And he's like, we might be in the wrong house, the wrong church, the wrong job, the wrong neighborhood, but this kid ain't in the wrong house. And so there's no accident that you are with these children, this husband, this is. So go to the Lord and ask him to give you his heart for them, for everything. And you probably have to do it all the time. Because I did get into a habit of grit my teeth and I will be content. And I think I was content. But wow, you can't hold on that long. You're just not strong enough to do it in your own flesh. Nor do you reap the real joy that God has for you. This kid that nearly killed me... the Lord restores, he redeems. I never dreamed that he would do what he's doing. But in the process of raising that guy, God wanted to work on my heart. And so beware of white knuckling. You can do it for a little while, but really go to him and say, give me your love for this child. Give me your love for... And these are prayers he promises to answer. So,
anybody?
Can I have a back?
We're just slower thinkers. So
we are. It's been too many years. Can I just say, though, we're going to get real. If you have an anger problem the way I had an anger problem, talk to somebody, call somebody, say, this is going to get ugly. I was never physically abusive. But my older daughter was the sweetest thing, and she could take the brunt, and it was terrible. And then I would always go back and say, I'm so sorry, and I'm still going, I'm really sorry. If it's hard, it's okay, it's not shameful. If it's hard, you can call me, you can call a friend and just say, I just need somebody to talk me down right now. Again, I wasn't. And can I just say one thing too? I just feel I'm not on staff anymore, but I just want to make sure. If you're in a marriage that's hard and you feel physically afraid or you have issues, we do have help in this church. God, if you have made a commitment to a marriage, trust me on this. I had the kindest, gentlest husband ever. That wasn't my thing. But if you've married somebody, make up your mind that you have committed, not, gosh, I wish I had done that, I wish I had done that. Make up your mind, because Harriet's absolutely right. I mean, whoever said, oh, Julie said, a strong marriage is the first thing. Make up your mind. If you need help again, we have counselors, we have pastors, we have great marriage things. But for whatever that's worth, if you need help, we are here.
I'd just like to really reiterate what Christine said. Your child is not in the wrong house. You are not the wrong parent for your child. God purposed you to parent that child, for that parent to also change you. And, you know, nothing reveals our sin more than our kids. And he's refining us and transforming us. And I just recently read an article on, you know, what if motherhood is supposed to be hard? For those reasons, too, we want to look more like Jesus the longer we do whatever we're doing. And if this is his means for getting us there, then it's his means for getting us there. And we need to have that mindset of we're being transformed at the same time they're being transformed. And whatever we say in terms of advice, it's not going to fit you perfectly. You are the parent of that child for that purpose. And so, you know, it's like little hints or little things that maybe you'll hear and maybe adjust or maybe can make life easier, but you're their parent for a reason, and he will use you in their life and they in your life. So,
and just one quick addition to that, I have some things I pray every day, same, and then of course there are others that vary, but one of my constant prayers is for my grandchildren, Lord, help me to love them to be the best that you have made them. Because I mean, with 6 grandkids, they're all over the place, and some of them are scary to think about what they may or may not do. I've got one that's a lot like Scott, who's a warrior, you know, and we're trying to get his warrior for the Lord instead of for whatever else. I'm not sure what. And then something else I just heard that made a lot of sense to me was praying, Lord, I have asked you over and over and over to change this, and you have not changed it. And he says, I know, it's because I'm changing you. And that's sort of what you were saying, right?
All right, I'm going to go with 2 more questions for time.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
I want to piggyback on what Marcia said real quick about, especially if you're new here, don't ever think that your problem is too unusual, too hard. What you're struggling with is something we've never heard before. This is a church of broken people, and everybody looks really nice on top, and everybody is struggling with something underneath. So never feel that you can't come to one of the pastors, to one of us, and say, you know, I want out of this marriage because it's been heard before, and somebody will walk with you through it. I think Bruce Campbell may be one of the most faithful people I've ever seen at walking with people through things, and nobody ever judges. They just want to be there with you. So never hesitate to do that.
All right, since we've been talking a little about husbands, I'm going to ask the husband question. How did you balance your husband's needs with the demands of a house and the demands of the children? Because that's a lot.
Well, I have a different perspective since I was a full-time working mom, and we split. You know, he was amazing. I just have to say, he was amazing. I mean, we were hosting Shepherd Group tonight, and he's home dusting and vacuuming. So, I have nothing to share on that because he's amazing.
I was fortunate to marry a similar kind of person. Our 4 boys, is it Joey? You reminded, yeah, when you introduced yourself, those were the ages of my boys. And Craig was a pilot with United. And so those 2 questions at the end kind of go hand in hand for me, because he was not around for a while. And then he'd come back, and I'd be like, I don't even understand where you fit in this circus. Get out of the way. Because I had my thing down. And so... one thing that I heard in on an earlier Moms Connect, I think Sharon Supp mentioned it, was that they did something called couch time. The hands down, I would do that again and again. If I was living again, it's one of the things I would absolutely guarantee. When your husband comes home, you carve out, it's 10 minutes maybe, 10 minutes where you sit on the couch, and he can say hello to the kids. Like, some people are like, oh, he sums to me, and we sit down, we let make, it doesn't matter. He can say hi to the kids or whatever, but there's 10 minutes where those children are watching you, and they are not allowed to interrupt. And you are looking at each other. And there were times that I would be looking at him because he would have just come in from like a 5-day flight, and I'm like, I'm going to kill you. But we look at each other. And first of all, my whatever frustration I was having would dissipate. That was always good. But it teaches those kids that you and he are fundamental and you are the priority. And there were times we really didn't have anything to talk about, but we would look at each other and they had to take second string to us. And we did it every day that he was home. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but it really was a big deal. And that also was the transitioning to authority kind of thing. When he comes home, I would talk to your husband about it, but Craig was always really good about, like, where are we now? How's the circus running? And where do you need me? And that didn't mean he wasn't in charge. He's the one who said to me, hey, listen, this kid belongs in this house. Get your butt in gear. But it did mean that I was running the house, the practical operations system of the house, and he was willing to kind of see, where do you need me in the process? And also, because he was gone so much, the boys would always be like, hey, Mom, can I? Mom, can I? Mom, can I? And so there were times that I'd be like, you need to check with Dad. And so we would just make sure we're on the same page. But I was careful to make sure he was part of that equation. Especially, I don't think that's a big deal when they're 2. But when they're 14, it's a way bigger deal. You know,
Just sort of tag on to that in a different way is, in today's society, men are made to look like fools. On media, on TV shows. Girls, this man is responsible for taking care of you spiritually, financially. He goes to work every day. He may be in a job that is really hard for him with people that are really hard to work with. And he has to do this day after day. If we're stay-at-home moms or part-time moms, you know, when that child is taking a nap, we can put our feet up if we want to. He can't go put his feet up somewhere. He is on it 8, 10, 12, whatever it is that your husband works. We are showing, we are teaching our children what we think about the Father. We should be thinking that we are teaching them about our Heavenly Father too. So the respect that we show to our man is also teaching them how to respect our Heavenly Father. That's what kept Randy and me. My kids didn't even know we had a bad marriage. They didn't know that we were fighting like crazy behind the doors. But it was because I was afraid to teach my children that I did not honor my husband, I didn't respect my husband, I thought he was, you know, blah, blah, blah. So for me, it was helpful to keep that I'm teaching them about the Heavenly Father while I'm teaching them about the Earthly Father. Support your guy. He has a hard life. You know, I don't know. I'm just really big on the husband thing.
All right, we're going to switch to kids, and then we're going to wrap up. As a mom, it can feel like you're always, always, always correcting, and it's like zzz, zzz, all the time. How do you have wisdom to know what to battle on and what not to battle on?
I think determining is something, an act of rebellion, something pertaining to character, or is it childish irresponsibility? And really trying to differentiate between those two. I think also we can develop a habit of just kind of picking, and I'm in a study of Revelation right now, and I'm noticing how when Jesus is speaking to the 7 churches, he commends them first, and then he corrects. And I thought, that's a good tidbit there. And as Harriet had said earlier, our words are so important. So if we can preface things with something affirming or just affirming, then correct. And then also, sometimes we just use way too many words. I think if the consequences are laid out, we don't have to sit there and say, well, you're not going to get this, you're not going to get that. Just they just don't get it when the time comes. So we're not just always, you know, so.
My girls were so different. It was, you know, it was like amazing how different they were. The first one was sweet and kind and easy to take care of. The second one wasn't. And so that's why I read The Strong-Willed Child. And he, and I mentioned that before, he said, make sure you pick your battles. Everything can't be a battle. If you've got a kid who it's a constant thing all day long. So you have to choose those things that are important, like Debbie said. Is that, you know, disobedience, or is that just a kid? Lauren left everything all over the house because she always had a book in her face. That wasn't disobedience. That was just, she wanted to read all the time. But with Claire, it was willful. When she was 3 or 4, I was standing at the kitchen, at the stove, trying to cook. And she came up and put her hands on her hip. I was telling her to pick up the toys or something, and she went, you know, Mom, you really can't make me. And I said, well, actually, I can. One of us may not live through it, but I can do it. But you just do that. I was a much easier, less rigid mom, and I would have liked to have been that more with Lauren, because she deserved it. She was the good one. But just be really careful what you're going to. If something is important to you and your husband, then you sit on it. Otherwise, try to show grace. That would be my one piece of advice. Show grace, but show yourself grace too. Because you're going to do a lot of things that you go, why in the world did I do that? But I love what Christine said. Say you're sorry and show grace.
I would just add one other thing. With as Harriet said, our kids are wired differently, and so you do have to kind of parent, although we want, you know, we're always trying to keep things equal and all that, but I had one who, if I just gave her an ultimatum, she automatically would choose to die on that hill. So it was just helpful to say, would you rather do this or do that? And they both were kind of what I wanted her to do, but you just word it differently. So
they figured that out eventually. I gave them two choices, and they said, well, there are other choices.
While they're young, you can get away with it.
Right. My two boys don't skip anything. When sometimes I think, would you just leave your kids alone and just let them be kids? But you know who I'm talking about. For instance, Chris, if they do something or don't do so, whatever, he says, he ties it to scripture. He says, is that kind? Is that loving? Is that putting yourself before the other? Is that respect? Whatever. And those girls respond immediately and shape up. And I'm thinking, whew, you know, because I would not have done every little thing. It takes so much parenting time to do that. Those two families are willing to take the time to do that. And I have seen, one of Scott's is 3 years old, and when he does something, Scott will say, Caleb? He says, I know, go to the laundry room. And he puts himself into timeout. So, I mean, those kids know what to do, and it takes a couple of words. Is that kind, loving, respectful, blah, blah, blah. And they, I'm not saying it'll last forever. We only have up to a 12-year-old, but so far I've been really impressed. When I wouldn't have parented like that, but it's working for them.
I think we were buzzers. We buzzed all the time in toddlers, 2, 3 years old, and I have no regrets. I think you know, like out of bounds. That's because I read it. It says, you know, you feel like you're in a game of operation where they're always getting buzzed. Sorry. We thought the term credit card parenting comes to mind. You either deal with things now or you deal with them later with interest. I'm not advocating being a nag, but I'm with her son. That's how we parented. Overall, it worked really well for us. I don't think you have to be... that's how we did it. But I don't think you need to be mean about it or naggy about it. But you're dealing with two-year-olds. That's your job, is to teach and correct. That's what you do all day long. You can do it with a loving heart. You can do it with a positive attitude. You don't have to be walking around going, nee, 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 nee. But that really is, at 2 years old, 99% of your life is being corrected, isn't it? That's very much how we parented. I actually don't regret it. Like I said, I think if you don't teach and train in the toddler years, it comes back at you with interest. So self-control. My husband had it in his head. So again, he was a pilot. I went to the grocery store alone with five kids all the time. I was alone all the time. He had it in his head that if a puppy can learn to sit still for 10 minutes, that our boys would also be able to sit for 10 minutes. And he would up the time on that. Those are things that we reaped big rewards later. I guess you look mean at the time, but you are in a serious training ground at 2 years old. I think you're in a serious... And again, he was a pilot, so I'd have a baby, and he'd honest to God end up in training for a new jet every single time. And so he would put the boys in what we called baby boot camp. And they were about 18 months, 2 years apart, which meant that the like 8 weeks before the baby was born, that first time obedience, it was bam, 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 because he was going to walk out the door and leave me with a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and a newborn. And that's okay. It's your heart. That's your issue. It's not whether or not you're correcting them, because that's your job at toddlers. It's what heart you're approaching it with a heart of, I want to honor God. I want to prepare this child for the dreams God has for him. I want him to grow up to be a responsible, strong young man. Or is your heart, I don't want Susie to think I'm not a great mom. Forget Susie. You're never going to satisfy Susie or your mother or your father-in-law or anybody else. So if your heart is to honor God and love your child well, that's the bigger issue.
The only thing that I would not let slide was disrespect, because they could do a lot of different things. You know, they could hit each other or they could spill or whatever. But if I got the rolling of the eyes or the turn and walk when I'm talking to them, the disrespect, and I'm not saying you have to explode, but you have to address it right then. We don't do that. Come back. You know, you don't treat me that way. I am your mother. You know, you're respectful. And that was the one thing that I didn't ever let slide, was the disrespect. Just like in my classroom, if I had a kid, you know, fifth grader, like that. No, we're going in the hall. We're going to talk about it right now. You're not going to do that again. And so they know, they learn really quickly that they have to have that respect for you. Now, I know there are kids with defiant disorders, and that might not be, they might not respond as easily or as well, and then you would need some professional help with that, and that's perfectly fine. But for generally speaking, that was the one thing that I didn't, you know, we always addressed it. One thing that just is hard to see is a little child who's allowed, you know, you might have seen this, or maybe your kids have done it, is where they hit you. They hit you. And they all do that. They get angry and they hit you. They want to hit you in the face. And that's the thing, is I would just say, don't ever let that slide. Explain to them over and over and over, that's not respectful, that's not right, we don't do that. You know, just, and then they, I don't know, that worked very, very well for us to treat that respect.
It's called parenting, ING. That means it's not a one-time shot.
Can we give these ladies a round of applause? So we have a... thank you all so much. We have a few minutes to chat at your table. If there-